Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good this morning. Still enjoying the win. Feel like I got a little, this team got a little payback for me from the 2010 NFC Championship game. So feel good about that. Crazy game, crazy to rewatch. I heard you guys talking about it this morning. Really, really tough team, man. Tough team, tough mentally, great football character. They compete the whole game, especially the quarterback. And it seems like the whole team rallies behind him and believes because they know they have a guy who can put the ball in the air and attack every part of the field and put the ball in the end zone and score something like, you know, say 25 points in one quarter to win a football game.
I think you were also on the field, Olin, probably the last time the Bears had a victory of this magnitude, and that was the NFC Championship game back during the 2006 season. Would have been January 2007. And when you start to put this into historical context, you start to go way back in Bears history. I guess the question is, how did they do it? In your mind, yeah, you had Caleb Williams with 25 points in the fourth quarter and all these things, but the defensive turnaround, that was unexpected in the second half. The offensive explosion, they scored more points in the fourth quarter than they had in the previous seven. How do you explain what we all just saw?
Yeah, and put it into perspective, I get a great perspective in my house, right? I have kids from 22 all the way down to 10, right? And I have a 16-year-old girl who's never seen the Bears win a football game like they just won. So historical perspective, I get to watch. No one expects them to beat the Chicago Bears. You're talking about 2006. They could care less in my house about 2006, right? My kids could care less even about the game against the Seattle Seahawks, right, in the 2010 playoffs, the last time Chicago Bears won a playoff game. And guys, we don't have to say that anymore. But just really a game that when you watch Dennis Allen, and a lot of credit to him, you know, changing his scheme. And you got guys like DeMarco Jackson on the field because TJ Edwards is out, and I hope he gets healthy quickly. But all of a sudden, they're bringing what they call double pro, right? Double cornerback blitz. First play of the second half, David and Mully. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Dennis Allen said, screw it, man. I'm going to bring the house on these guys, right? And all of a sudden, you're watching Kyler Gordon blitz and Jalen Johnson defend the pass. And you're thinking, man, this is what it was supposed to look like, right? This is what we thought we were going to see. And, you know, Billings is out and, you know, are, you know, banged up. And I'm thinking, gosh, how are they going to stop the run without Andrew Billings? But like a few nicely timed blitzes, D linemen playing their gaps. Linebackers makes plays. I don't know about you guys, but I have to check who the hell is number 16, right?
Yeah.
Reeves Maven. I'm like, who is this guy? And he's blitzing and he's coming free. And the thing that Dennis Allen, man, I'd like to know what he said too at halftime, along with Coach Ben Johnson, who did a great job. And it's just the competitive character, guys. I keep saying that the way the quarterback, no matter what's going on, the way he competes and comes out there and he's still trying to put the ball in the end zone. And we know that maybe he's a little more comfortable in that kind of offense, no huddle offense. We got to throw the ball. These are things that he did all through college, but attack the field. And then you see this pass that everyone's talking about. We're 2 feet off the ground. And I heard David talk about how it's the jump man pass. And things are going on in this game that, you know, you don't even see, like Joe Tooney getting beat clean on some plays. And you're thinking, man, Joe Tooney got beat? Like, how the hell are they going to win this football game? But they just keep fighting. They keep going. This team has shown perseverance all year long, and they make the plays at the end of the game. And I really think Green Bay was just trying to run the clock out, right, and not trying to make plays anymore and just hoping that the game would end and they could leave with a win. But they don't. They should know the Chicago Bears football team. And I think Micah Parsons tweeted out at halftime,
yes,
like, guys, I know
yes,
we're up by X amount of points, but – this team, they're going to fight you to the end. So they had a guy up in the suite probably eating really good food and sipping on whatever he's sipping on, trying to warn them what this Chicago Bears, you know, what their culture is, what their team character is, that they're going to keep playing to the end. And engineer Ben Johnson talked about, you know, they talked about, you know, Super Bowl between Atlanta and New England and all these things that they've talked about this year that, look, we're going to continue to fight. And Grady Jarrett, and then a fumble by an offensive lineman by the Packers. And guys, I mean, the things you watch on when you turn that film on, you guys did the same thing. It was insane. Right, it was an insane football game, but to win that football game, unbelievable, man! Chicago Bears, congratulations to them, and thankful that we got to enjoy that victory there on the lakefront.
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. And Olin, I was trying to remember. I mean, we've talked to you before about that Arizona game Was that the biggest comeback that you were involved in? Was that the most unlikely comeback that you experienced during your career? And I just remember going in. That was the most remarkable locker room I ever visited. Got to go in and talk to some people. It was almost like everyone was... It was almost like you could hear people laughing through the door. Everyone was so, it was like, you know, quick, let's get out of here before they call the cops. You know, it was such a unbelievable robbery of a game. And that was the, you know, when Dennis Allen did the whole, or Dennis Allen, when Dennis Green did the whole, they are who we thought they were, you know, that meltdown. And I thought to myself, as I was thinking this through, just what would that be like in a playoff game where you kind of had been eliminated and then there must be this aura of invincibility almost that could be scary to deal with.
Right now, they had a playoff game versus the Green Bay Packers that you just recovered an onside kick to beat a few weeks ago. And we talked about the difference when David brought that up to us, right? He brought that up after the last Packers game. What was the difference between the Arizona game? Kind of reminded us of that. And the difference was, again, the quarterback and the play caller, right? The quarterback won the game. Around here in Chicago, we're used to the defense and a special team. I think the two guys who walked out at the coin toss at that game were the reason. Well, and a lot of the reasons we beat the Arizona Cardinals, and Brian Urlacher wearing his gold jacket, and Devin Hester, right, my two former teammates, both wearing their gold jacket. Those are the reasons we beat the Arizona Cardinals. But, you know, you talk about, you know, maybe you can go back to 2001, Cleveland Browns 49ers back-to-back Mike Brown pick six to win that game. I mean, Mike Brown, he ran up the tunnel, and we just all followed him up the tunnel. But that's how long you're talking about a victory like this. But this team seems to keep doing this, right? And it's, again, like you said, what is the magnitude of beating in Illinois, in Chicago, beating the Green Bay Packers, right? Beating a team that has basically been your boogeyman for so long. But I don't know about you guys, but when we went up 31-27, right? And, you know, obviously they missed two field goals. They missed the extra point. And we had this lead out of nowhere, which I mean, I'm sitting on my couch. I can't believe we're leading this football game, man. Unbelievable, right? But when we went up, I thought to myself, Jordan Love's a very good football player who made a lot of good plays in that game. But they don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback anymore back there, right? They don't have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's still in the playoffs, right? Who might be as old as me, still in the playoffs. I think he plays tonight. Right. And they got a team worried about him, that kind of level of quarterback play. Right. And Brett Favre in 31 years, a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm thinking, man, here we do. Here we are. And we do have a chance to win this football game to keep them out of the end zone. That's exactly what happened, man. And what a win. And what a win for the Chicago Bears.
I think that's what this feels like, is that Caleb Williams has taken over that role as being the one who owns this rivalry now. He's 3-2 in two seasons. And last, you know, Saturday night, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And I just wonder, now the Bears have come back seven times in the final 2 minutes and won games. And it is laughable, Olin. It's just like,
it is, man.
Is this, when do you, in the midst of this, like, it feels like all things can be on the table. And when you say the Bears winning the NFC and the Bears going to the Super Bowl, you're a guy who's rooted in reality and you have good perspective. Are you considering those possibilities?
Definitely, right? Well, you're two games away, right? And anything can happen in the NFL. And the momentum you have after winning a game, you have one more at home. You never know what happens in Seattle with the 49ers. You never know where these games end up. I mean, I'm rooting in reality because in 2010, we had no business in an NFC championship game, but we were there, right? And obviously Jay gets hurt and Todd Collins comes in and then Caleb Haney finishes the game, right? But we're talking about, you just mentioned, who the Chicago Bears have, what kind of confidence that game must have given them to beat the Green Bay Packers at home. And you just got to keep performing. You got a young coach. You heard Caleb talk about his coach, right? And when you talk about him getting emotional in his development and what Ben Johnson has meant to him, I think, guys, that's because he went through what some other coaching can be like last year, right? And a lot of young quarterbacks' careers can go in the wrong direction if you don't have a guy who will put you on the right path, put you in good situations, call football players, plays, understand what you need to do to compete in the NFL. And I think that's what you heard in Caleb's speech after the game. So anytime a team can win football games like they win, get momentum like they get, any of you guys have seen it before, team goes on a run, gets takeaways, competing. They got a young tight end in Colston Loveland making plays all over the place, right? Just they got a good offensive line. Their run game can get going against anybody. The Rams got to come playing the cold out here. You never know how that affects people to go that long. They're a very good football team. They're the team that a lot of people thought would be in the NFC Championship game. A lot of people think it's going to be the Rams and the Seahawks, but we've seen over years a team just get hot and go on a run. So it is definitely a possibility, and this football team is right in the mix competing with these guys. And I know that they're about a 5-point underdog, about where they should be, because like you're talking about, you know, seven games, win by last second, how lucky is this team? Hey, man, let's keep getting lucky. Let them call it what you want to call it. But as long as you win football games, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's just extraordinary to go back and watch the game and see how far out of it they are and how they do it and what happened in that game. And we talked about it on the post game, Olin. You have been a bit of a soothsayer regarding the Bears. I remember being at Revolution Brewery, and they fell behind to Cincinnati. And that game, that was it. It's over. I can't believe it. And you just didn't even blink. You're like, there's too much time. They got time. They can come back. And then sure enough, they come back. And I'm like looking at you like, what? Why would you believe that? And you were telling us friends of yours from all over the place were texting you, and you were telling them it's not over yet. Like, no. I thought for sure when they got that touchdown in the fourth, like it was almost, that was like a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. And yet they came back again. I just don't know how that happened. And I've watched it a couple times. And I remember watching it back and thinking, well, the how do they win this game again? Like, that can't happen. Like, it just was an extraordinary thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, they score, and you're like, here, we got this chance. And then they score again on Golden's touchdown, right? And it's 27-16, and I'm getting texts, and I just keep texting them back. Like, you probably don't want to quit on this football team. We've seen it all year long, right? Whether it be the Raiders, the Commanders, the Giants, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Eagles game, when they caused a fumble on a tush push, the Packers game, they took it all the way down to the end, being down even in Green Bay. And then the last Packers game, right? I mean, recovering an onside kick and scoring and taking a lead. And then in this game, it's like, okay, can they do it? And you just keep thinking they can't. They can do it because we've seen them do it. We've seen this team competing. The game was just crazy with the amount of plays that the Chicago Bears had to make. And the reason why, you know, you keep thinking they can do it is they obviously have the weapons on this offensive side of the ball, and Colston Loveland and DJ Moore, and you know, Zacchaeus catches a touchdown pass, and they got Luther Burden when they get him lined up, right? And then they got the play caller and Ben Johnson, but they got the quarterback who can attack every part of the football field and jump off two legs and throw a football and throw the ball 60 yards in the air and make throws that a lot of, you know, I think one of his teammates said, I think Rome said it was like, yeah, it's the greatest throw until he throws the next one. Right, it's the greatest throw you've ever seen until he throws another one, right? And it's just kind of like we've seen this guy now, you know, first time we got to see him in his rookie year, he would make throws, and you're like, what an arm. What an arm he has. But, you know, I go back to the first third down in the game. I think it was 3rd and 3, you know, in the first quarter. And the thing about Caleb, when you go back and watch the film, is he played pretty damn good most of the game. Right, they really did. The run game didn't get going. There wasn't a lot of plays being made, but he was executing, especially on third downs early in the game. And that first 3rd and 3, he went through his whole progression, guys, and got back to Luther Burden and threw the ball to him from the pocket, right? Which is telling you his game is coming along, and he is working on the things that he needs to work on. And I remember Ryan Poe said early in Caleb's career, right, that let your teammates make plays, get the ball in your playmakers' hands, and then when it's time to do the special, go out there and do the special. But of course, guys, I mean, so much had to happen with the way the defense and bringing Kyler Gordon and the cornerbacks off the edge and Montez Sweat causing intentional groundings, and they had to stop the run. And Green Bay LaFleur is, I mean, he's a really good play caller, man. I hear like rumors about, oh man, they might fire that guy. I tell you what, as a Chicago Bears fan, I hope so. I hope so. This guy can attack the field. He does a nice job calling football plays. And, you know, can you imagine Jordan Love's development if they got a guy in there like John Harbaugh, and who would be the offensive coordinator? You saw what happened with Lamar Jackson. So the Chicago Bears right now, man, very interesting football team. What are they? What aren't they? How come they only win late? What gets them going? And guys, I'll be honest with you, I turn the film on a lot, like you guys know. The hell if I know how they're doing all this.
All right, but two football questions briefly addressed, Olin. Number one, fourth and five from their own 32 with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. What was going through your head when that happened? And then after you answer that, help us understand what changed in the second half defensively so that they had four straight series that basically were three and outs, except for they got one first down, because that was a game changer.
Yeah, in my notes, Dave, it was I put desperation, right, with a question mark. Like, why are we going for it there? And I didn't know what to think, because I just thought Ben Johnson must think they can't stop the Green Bay Packers on defense, right? And Dennis Allen probably went to the locker room and said, you know, hey, man, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'll change the game plan. We'll get this damn thing going. We'll find a way to stop them. And the defense sure did. And then, like, right after that play, the fourth down, you know, I think it was on, I don't have it in my notes, but early in the game, going for it on fourth down and right in the second quarter, and I have desperation right here. That's when Edgar Cooper tipped the ball and the snap wasn't great. You remember all that went on?
Yes.
I think Luther Burden was coming across the middle.
It was the Burden.
On the next play, guys, as a Chicago Bears, you know, analyst and obviously cheering for them to win the game, on the next play, you're watching Josh Jacobs run through Andrew Billings, right? And you're like, oh, my gosh. This and Andrew Billings lying on the ground injured, and you're thinking the game is over, right? And the fact that their sideline didn't think that they thought there were still ways to win that football game, and then they missed the field goal going into the half. And I think I tweeted out Undertaker rising from the grave just because of the missed field goal, right? It's supposed to be 21-43, it's 21-3, but this, you know, this team, and if you keep keeping them in the game, and every time the guy would miss the extra point, and you do the math, and you're like, wait a minute, that keeps us in the football game. But Dennis Allen came out and started bringing guys from the edges, David Hall. He started bringing cornerback plays. First play, the first play of the second half was Jalen Johnson and A'shaun Wright pouring a double crow and a 2D tackle dropping, and that's what he did a lot of in the second half, bringing Kyler Gordon, bringing Jalen Johnson, bringing A'shaun Wright, bringing Brisker, bringing number 16, Reeves Maben. I think that's the name. If I screwed up, I apologize. DeMarco Jackson's on the football field. Austin Booker, they were running at him early. He started playing with better leverage, using his hands. I give the guy credit. He fights the whole damn game, right? Grady Jarrett looked like he was the linchpin in the middle of the thing, man, leading guys, fighting on every play, doing everything he can to win that football game. And I just like they took a lot of pride in what they were going to do. And Dennis Allen probably told them, I'd love to know. There was a lot of talk going on with Caleb and Ben and all the things they did. I'd love to know what Dennis Allen said to that defense at halftime that he was going to do, that he was going to come out of the locker room and what they were going to do. But as far as scheme and what they did, that's exactly what they did, man. They started coming after them. They started blitzing them a little more. I'm sure the numbers have said that. I'm sure the percentages went way up in the second half. And Dennis Allen just said, look, man, I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at them. And it's funny because going into the game, what we talked about was, he's got to play a little more zone. He's got to sit back. How is he going to cover these guys? And it was almost the opposite in the second half. It was almost like, nah, I'm done doing that. I'm going to come after Jordan Love. And then Jordan Love looked like, you know, he was trying to play it a little more safe and not make the big plays and not make the big mistake to get the Bears back in the football game. And to be honest, I think that is what got the Chicago Bears back in the football game.
Olin, we'll let you go. Just curious, is the Rams the preferred opponent as opposed to the Eagles losing their game? The Rams obviously had a comeback. It was a back-and-forth game, but they won 34-31 against the Panthers, and supposedly Matthew Stafford got in the huddle and said, let's go steal their hearts. And mm-hmm. and I heard mm-hmm. Devontae Adams say that he got a chill in his spine when he heard that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that the Rams were not the preferred opponent for the Chicago Bears. I think we all know we wanted the Eagles here. Nobody wanted Matt Stafford, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, and Sean McVay here at Soldier Field. But look, that's who you got, man, in that young defense. That defensive line gets after quarterbacks, right? And Shula and all these guys.
Yep.
Their coaching staff is basically Theta Chi. We look at them on the sideline. Looks like a fraternity. They all got their perfect hair. They're all young guys, but they're all very good football coaches. Matthew Stafford, I don't know. You know, I got to go through it again, but right off the top of my head, the best quarterback the Bears have seen this year. And then, guys, you know, they got their own. Sean McVay is the OG, right? The original Ben Johnson coming to town, really good football coach. Him versus Dennis Allen, quite the matchup, right? We got Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, a young quarterback. They got Stafford. We all seen the Chicago Bears defense versus receivers this year and stopping the pass. And they got Puka Nacua, and they got Devontae Adams. They got really good tight ends. Their offensive line, I mean, it's just that not the matchup. Well, I was at my 10-year-old daughter's basketball game yesterday, watching it on a little phone, kind of cheering for the Eagles, right? Like, hoping that we could get them that rematch again. But in the NFL, man, if you want to win a Super Bowl, like David talked about, eventually you got to slay the Giants. And here comes the Rams. So the Chicago Bears have earned the right to play this damn football team. So I'm sure they're excited. I'm sure they want to go play them. I can't wait to watch them compete against the Rams.
Great stuff, Olin. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Olin.
Appreciate it, guys.
Chicago can use the clock as well. Automatically, right now, they're in field goal range. They want to get seven. They can use the clock. Williams throwing, and it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Forget about the clock. Just take the lead when you can. 25 yards. Sixth place, 66 yards in 68 seconds.
You adjusted, Bears. Admit it. Admit you adjusted, partially because you unfortunately had to because of some major injuries, but also because it was the right thing to do. We saw different looks at the half after the halftime intermission than we did in the first out of the defense. We saw different plays out of the offense. And that one, by the way, was a tremendous one. Darnell Wright was on the left side and Cole Kmet was playing right tackle. Absolutely outstanding. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we're also asking the fun question today of how does that get back feel? Like when you see Packers fans who never listen to this station or reply to our tweets, except on a day like today, like this guy who replied to us on Twitter and says, cute coming from an organization that has been irrelevant for decades. How does it feel then to get beat by an organization that has been irrelevant for decades? How does it feel to be down 21-3 at the half? And then now you thought you were winning that game. How does that feel today?
Yeah, and how's it feel to be heading into irrelevance in general?
How does it feel to know that your coach is on the hot seat today?
Yeah, that's all they're talking about there.
Isn't it worse than that you were irrelevant for decades? I feel like it is.
The Chicago Bears pinned all Packers fans. That's what they did. They've been pinned, and now they're scrambling.
You don't like it when you're not the ones winning? You don't like it when ownership of the Soldier Field crowd may be up for grabs?
Change is hard. It's painful.
Painful.
It's awkward. Yeah. It's painful. So, Packard, hey, we're here. You know what? We can make this a nice thing. You want to call us? We'll tell you what it's like, what you're going to go through over the next decade, what it's going to be like losing to the Bears
on
the regular.
Of winning?
Yeah. No, we're here for you. We'll give you verbal hugs. We'll explain how this is going to work for you, Green Bay. We'll explain. Like
I don't want to hug them.
I was very sports conscious in the 80s, so I've seen it. I've seen a decade of the Bears beating the Packers, so I understand what it's like. So, Packers fans, you're welcome here. We will take care of you, too.
Also, credit to our friend Alexis Marshall, who was the original poster of the teams from Wisconsin are 0-5 since the Brewers posed with the L. So just know that was the original poster.
Oh, we're coming for them too, by the way. Guy by the name of Alex Bregman now playing third base for the Chicago Cubs. We're coming for you too, Brew Crew.
And you know what, Jed Hoyer? Thank you. Thank you for starting the comeback, because the Bears were down 21-6 when that news broke, and I have no idea why that was the time that it broke, and I get that other people's lives don't revolve around the Bears, and that probably includes the executive for another team. However, to process all of that, I remember we were upset about the game on our group thread, and we were all texting amongst ourselves, and then all of a sudden Grody breaks in with a text that just says, Bregman.
And I was like, what? Yes. And then I get the notifications from Jeff Passan, and I was like, oh, wait, is he talking? Oh, wait.
There was a discernible buzz in the, I don't want to like over-dramatize it, because obviously there was heavy focus on what was going on the field at Soldier Field, but it was like playing telephone in the press box. Like, just, oh, do you see the Bregman? You know, I got Emma sitting right next to him. He's losing his mind. Like, I thought he was going to write 500 words on Alex Bregman being signed by the Cubs. Tom Rick Ricketts was in the house. He was at Soldier Field. So it's like all this, like, PCA was in the house. There was some Bears-Cubs synergy going on at Soldier Field the other night, amongst other stuff. What a night, you guys. Like, Soldier Field was just before the game. I don't know if this was caught on television or not, but 20 minutes before the game, as I was doing my hit on the score with Olin, Pat, and Mully, the snow just came like a rampage of snow on Soldier Field. It was sticking, and then by the time the game started, it was completely clear. It was pristine, but it was like just the whole atmosphere was something to see at Soldier.
And then it started snowing later, right? It started snowing after the game ended.
After the game, yes, while we were doing the podcast.
It was like a lighter snow, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, and I'm in one of the suites recording the podcast, and I'm looking over the empty field with the light still on and some workers. It's very romantic, the whole scene. And then all of a sudden, there's this whoosh of snow towards the south end zone, and I'm just sitting up there doing the podcast and kind of smiling. And then after we got off, I just sat there and just stared for about 10 minutes, got up, walked out, and went home.
It was a wonderful time. And for everybody who, A, followed Danny Parkin's instructions of being quiet on offense, B, brought the effing house down at Soldier Field, because I heard the crowd was as loud as it's ever been. Thank you to everybody who hung out and did that.
I feel like they were quiet on their own in the first half because there was nothing to really get up in arms about.
I don't know. Like, I think we're all prone to the heat of the moment and hyperbole when it comes to the crowd. It's possible it's the loudest crowd at Soldier Field. I don't know. But it would.
They said it was shaking. Did you feel the shaking?
I didn't necessarily feel that. Now,
Maybe I missed it.
Maybe I just missed the. But I think it's. And I got to tell you, like, in the press box, there's no windows open, so it's hard for us to really get a true feel for what the crowd is like. But having, you know, the 80s Bears, all the huge moments that have occurred with the Bears through the years, it's hard for me to just like say, yep, that's the loudest it's ever been. I'll give it like some credibility and the possibility of it, but I think we gotta like just take a deep breath when we start to talk about how loud it was at Soldier Field.
Well, I understand your caution there. I wanna add one thing. Adam Johns put out this tweet of a cup. This is the cup test. He had the cup sitting on the desk, I guess, the press box.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was vibrating. You saw the water moving.
That's,
like,
pretty good.
The T-Rex Jurassic Park test.
Yes.
So the water was moving.
Must go faster.
And Jeff Goldblum has been making billions off of that now for the last 30 years.
Life finds a way.
312 says Spike Lee was at the game. I didn't
he was,
see that.
Yes. Oh, the Bears posted a picture of him.
Everybody was there, man.
That's right, Spike. No more trying to give Pope Leo a Knicks jersey. You're in it now.
Yeah, thanks, Pope.
You're in it. Yeah, another thank you to the Pope.
Thanks, and Al Michaels, Pope, is what, 81 years old, and he said it was the loudest game he had ever called at Soldier Field.
So that's pretty good.
I know he likes it here. Like, I know he enjoys coming to Chicago. Kirk Herbstreit, I think, from an analysis standpoint, did a good job. I think there were times where even they were at a loss for words. At one point, I'm pretty sure Al called Loveland Komet, but everybody makes mistakes. It's like us talking on the air for 4 hours. I just don't. If you're conveying the emotion to everybody at home and the information in the way that they did, I'm not complaining.
His dog is adorable, though. Okay, I was on the field.
Peter?
Is that the name of the pup?
I believe so.
He's just a beautiful golden retriever. It was so funny because, you know, hours before the game, I just went and sat in the stands, empty, just watching a few players come out, and this beautiful golden retriever comes out, and everybody loved the pup. It was beautiful.
Peter Herbstreit. Does he hang out with Kevin Rizzo?
But possibly.
I want to get to this while we have some time, and we are going to take our calls at 1045, 312-644-6767. We talked about at what point you thought it was over. And then there's the at what point you realize they really did do some things differently in the second half. For me, it was exactly what we talked about. You know, that's the beauty of a team who's not afraid to tell you about what works for them and what doesn't. We knew that they showed a lot of pressure on Jordan Love in the past two games, specifically the one on December 20th, and that Jordan Love was picking it apart fairly well. We knew that if they ran crossing routes against the Bears defense, knowing that Jalen Johnson isn't healthy, knowing that Kyler Gordon isn't healthy, you see TJ Edwards go down, that was going to be successful. Poor Andrew Billings goes out with a hip injury. So a lot of reliable names for the Bears defense, even in an injured state, go down. And then they started bringing the pressure. in a way that they had not all season against this Packers team. That was the big adjustment for me, was watching that change and understanding they could indeed get stops that they had not previously. It looked like two different teams.
Totally.
Yeah, and it seemed like the persistence paid off in the second half, and there just wasn't that persistent push from the front, whether it was the front four or the extra man that actually got home or close to home. It wasn't like they were sitting here throwing Jordan Love to the ground like a rag doll, but you could see he was more tenuous in the second half than he was in the first half.
Changing the timing. Just, dude, rattle the cage.
I mean, 231 yards total in the first half is what the Bears defense allowed Green Bay to do. Four straight punts to start. I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming.
Three and out. I was like,
three and out as well. Yes.
The idea that they could get someone off the, and that's why 21-3 felt so bad, because it's like, well, they're definitely going to take 5 minutes plus off the clock every time they have the ball in the third quarter. So can you come up with some turnovers is all I was thinking.
Pressure. So, they put pressure on. That's what they did.
The time, I don't know about you guys, but I had to consolidate notes from other notes and other formats. The time of possession that the Bears lost to Green Bay in the previous game.
Yes.
Was In the game that they won 22-16 overtime, Green Bay had 38-57 mm-hmm. in time of possession compared to 26-13 for Chicago. That explains the fourth down concepts. I didn't even care. Like, if I had told you there's a game where Torrey Taylor isn't going to punt, you're going to be like, oh, Bears 100, Packers 0, wrong. Like, they were doing this because they had to for their lives to try to get every single inch back. Then you factor into that how they planned it out defensively, and that's what made those three and outs so crucial coming into this.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is the Bears on offense were actually converting third downs on that first drive, and you made you think, okay, they figured it out mm-hmm. as far as what they're doing early, but you know, fool's gold is his thing, and that's what the Bears were working with in the first quarter of that game. The 2-for-6 on fourth down, and just like, you understood very quickly, oh, they're going to be going for it pretty much unless it's fourth and double digits.
It's on. Yeah.
It's on.
So the drives go as follows for the Packers in the first half. Touchdown, 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 missed field goal, which was my first size of life. I was like, oh, something can stop them. Then it was punt, 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 touchdown, missed field goal.
It's crazy.
So to force those punts in succession, and then the Bears answered with field goal after the punt, the interception, which didn't hurt them because the Bears or the Packers ended up having to punt, field goal, punt, touchdown. They get the touchdown in the fourth quarter, and that was indeed after the announcement about Alex Bregman.
Bregman.
Took him long enough, right?
Ten minutes
left in the game, they score their first touchdown. Then it was touchdown Green Bay, missed extra point, touchdown, missed field goal, touchdown, end of game. Did you think that there was too much time left at the end?
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
I thought.
Who didn't?
And it's those last two plays. It was like, bam, bam, touchdowns. Like, whoa, whoa. I think I put it in the group test. Like, that's way too much time.
Can I make a quick prediction? Because people love my predictions. I think that Alex Bregman will be at the Bears game next week.
You better be at the Bears game, Alex Bregman.
Am I right, guys?
You got Cubs convention.
Can I get a what? So, what?
What?
Yeah.
Cubs convention flows right into it.
Oh, my God. There could be lots of Cubs players.
The whole
players.
Team. Holy, it's the whole team.
Holy. I'm going to get that.
Are you saying that because of the Pope? Why are you saying holy over and over again?
Oh, no. Maybe that is.
Because he can't say the cuss word.
I got that Pope in my mind.
Holy snap.
That's right. Yeah, Pope,
holy snap.
Pope gets a shout out. Shout out to the Pope. Yep.
You know what? Has there ever been a more preemptively successful player than us blaming Alex Bregman for helping the Bears win their first playoff game in 15 years?
He's got to be there.
We call that an impact player right there.
PCA will be there.
Congratulations, Alex Bregman. You've won your first Bears playoff game. What?
Shota will be there smiling.
He will be smiling.
He'll have his towel on.
Guys, we would all take the same contract. Don't take it out on Shota's wonderful personality, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
can
he's going
to agree to that?
I'm leaving the pitch. I am just saying, I want to see his smiling, towel-wearing self at the Bears game.
I would like him with more clothes, but okay. I mean, if that's a thing.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, and we've got you until 6 o'clock. It's a full boat show, and there is a lot for us to discuss. The Bears are moving on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. How did they get there? By rolling through the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to discuss it all afternoon long. The crew is here and ready to rock. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is grating cheese.
How much white cheddar should I grate with the gold cheese grater that our friends from Rinaldi's have provided along with the Victory Chicken? Everybody all over this town grating cheese. You see that picture that got sent out yesterday? A little kid in Arlington Heights out on his porch grating cheese.
I saw another picture from Arlington Heights. I got sent one. That was another picture.
Oh,
there were four guys. They were looking at blueprints.
Yeah, they were in Indiana, too, those four guys.
Yeah, I bet.
Which is very weird, but I love the
idea.
I want
to know where to go.
I love the idea that little kid's like, Mom, the Bears beat the Packers. I want to go grate some cheese. And she's like, do it outside, young man.
And that's why, because you've created a mess. Already here in
we'll
the studio.
We'll deal with it. Alex, clean
That's
up this
That's why I got
mess.
You the boat. Grate it in there.
I'm doing
it's a little
it.
Small.
It,
I know.
It just it knocked
is,
it down.
It is not working. But man, the cheese is being grated. And
everywhere.
That's good.
All over Chicagoland, people grating cheese. The happiest I've seen this town in a long time.
The idea that people were... It was just... The whole... It makes me smile so big. Like, to go, like, take the temperature of the city and walk around beforehand, and then the weather changes, and you're like, oh, well, this could be an interesting subplot to this game, and seeing people anxious about the kickoff of this game, and then getting more anxious after the game kicks off. And then the straight-up party that is going on in Chicago, it is so love. It is amazing. Like, I kept thinking about, because I'm doing, you know, House of L pods at night, and I was like, should I just start naming pods, like, pod episodes of, like, my favorite Chicago performers? Like, the Bears win a crucial conflict. Like, I was, like, literally doing that, like, thinking about all of this stuff. Beating a common opponent, like, all of this stuff, where I'm like, because it was just so Chicago. Here's how Chicago it was, Speegs.
Yo.
Yesterday, I dropped my brother off. He lives a few blocks away from me. In between us, there's a very famous Chicagoan who lives near President Obama's house.
Mm-hmm.
I drove by there yesterday afternoon. And if you were these people, please send me the picture. I saw a bunch of Bears fans in their Bears gear posing in front of Obama's house.
Obama!
I couldn't stop laughing because that's the type of joy that is out there right now with Bears fans, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's everywhere, man. Like you said in transition, in every bar all around Chicagoland, I can't hear enough stories of what people's experiences were like during that game. Because the way that win comes about, it was a test on like whether you believed or not. You had the whole second half to be like, maybe, I don't know, maybe, like, you know, and there's some people, I'm not going to name names, Tanny, who like really thought that this thing was toast. Like, but a lot of people thought this thing was toast.
It's not that I didn't believe in my Bears. I just didn't know how they were going to stop them.
Yeah.
That was my big thing. Like, I knew they had fight, but how were they going to stop the Packers from scoring in the second half?
Well, schematically, what changed, and energy-wise, what changed with that Bears defense, to me, that is the thing that we need to break down along the way, and we will, because Dennis Allen had a truly great second half after a really terrible first half, and some specific players made massive differences.
What's crazy about it is LaFleur had the better game plan going in.
100%.
And then when the Bears did some different stuff and Ben was able to get a bigger performance out of them in the second half, the Packers didn't know what to do. And that's kind of the interesting part. Like, watching the Bears ascend as the Packers descend.
Oh, yeah, that feeling the confidence and the energy for the Bears rise while the Packers were freaked out. And I think all due respect to the tremendous football career of a very good man in TJ Edwards, the presence of DeMarco Jackson as somebody who could blitz in the middle of that freaking defense and put the fear of God right up the gut on Jordan Love made a tremendous difference in that ballgame.
For someone to choke away a win, yes, you need the other team to be on point and to make plays. You also need another team to turtle. And it bothers me so much that the Packers are still out here talking mess. It bothers me from like even just a competitor standpoint. You lost. Like you wanted to try and play the mind games against the Bears. And I understand why you tried to do it. They're an emotional bunch. Their coach was emotional. One could argue their coach was too emotional early on in that game.
And certainly the players were too emotional last time you played them on a Saturday night at Soldier.
So I understand it. I understand that was the tactic that you were going to use. It was the nonsense that Jeff Hafley was doing, banging on the console like he plays point guard for Duke. All of the nonsense that was said before the game. Oh, this is the game that we wanted, and we definitely wanted to play them, and
you
all
wanted
this
it,
stuff.
You got
and,
it.
And I love that the Bears' response to it wasn't the high road. And to quote another Obama, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, go to hell.
Well, Obama.
And that's what the Bears did. They were like, we see your petty, and we raise you some petty.
Especially in football. You know, you could argue in rhetoric, and you could argue in moral life and all that. But in football, you got to respond to violence with violence. You have to go stronger, and they did go stronger. And I know how much it bothers you that the Packers are still out here talking after the game because they played a massive role. They're the ones that turtled.
Yes.
Your coach, your quarterback, had one grounding call in his professional career and then had two in the second half of that game.
You got a delay of game after a timeout.
Yep.
Like, you could be mad all you want. Just be mad at the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Be mad at yourself. Those dudes took the game from you. You gave it to them, and they took it.
And you choked. Just own it and deal with it, that you absolutely choked. But the Bears caused that pressure. Pressure burst pipes, we've always heard. And I love how Jordan Love has been terrific against the blitz in his career. Terrific this year. But in this game, they got to him. Dennis Allen, first play of the second half, he blitzes Nashawn Wright off the edge. Second play, DeMarco Jackson with a blitz in the middle on a run play and eats it up. First third down of the second possession, DeMarco Jackson fakes like he's going to do that up the middle, and Jordan Love is scared. He was scared and throwing off his back foot the entire second half. They got to that kid.
There's no denying that guy is good. He's good. But when you needed him to be great, he didn't elevate. And guess what? When the Bears needed Caleb Williams to elevate, he joined the rest of his team because he didn't do it alone. And Colson Loveland elevated as well. And the defensive guys, after getting dog walked for a whole half, they elevated. You saw, like, maybe this is the last game I have to play this year. We got the extra afterburner from Jalen Johnson. Oh, they're going to target me?
Yep.
I'm Kyler Gordon. They're going to target me?
Did he start to feel it or what?
Let me get back into a rhythm and start to make some plays here. Montez Sweat getting after Jordan Love. Like, there was a lot of that went on inside the game, and they deserve all the props in the world for coming back and winning that game. We shouldn't be surprised. I get why it's surprising, though, because you're not used to seeing teams lose that type of lead in the playoffs. And guess what? It's historic. And now the Packers' loss goes down in the annals of historic choke jobs in the history of the NFL playoffs, which is why I don't want to hear any crap from anyone in that locker room. I don't want to hear their head coach. I don't want to hear their DC. I don't want to hear their best player say a word. You had the game, and they took it from you. So shut up and get better. There, I've had my say.
There you go. Feel good?
Yeah.
Good. Good. As it should. I can't believe the Bears won that game, man. They had no turnovers. They were minus two in the turnover department. They had 93 rushing yards. That is not how you're supposed to be able to beat a team in the playoffs. But Caleb being that good late,
man,
showed they can beat anybody. Absolutely anybody in different ways when they need to.
He is absurd.
He really is.
Some of the throws that he makes are absurd. And we're going to spend some time talking about one particular throw a little bit later on in the show. But when we come back, Spiegs has a declaration to make. And
should have brought the trumpet.
Well, you brought the cheese grater, so it's...
I made a mess.
I mean, you could kind of turn that into an instrument. Just be careful. Don't cut yourself.
We have some smaller ones. I'll bring them in so maybe you don't make as big of a mess.
You've already, like, cut your hand. You're out here taped up like you're getting ready to play for the Sequoias later on today.